Let's turn to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to go back to the story of Joseph. Okay, follow along with me. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had owned, he put him in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house, and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about that after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" And it came about as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that she had left his garment, or he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of the household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to make sport of us. He came in to lie to me, and I screamed. And it came about when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." And so she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in to me to make sport of me. And it happened as I raised my voice and screamed that he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now it came about when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," that his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, and the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Amen. Here's this remarkable story about Joseph. I want you to note a couple things, okay? Now, what happens to Joseph is extremely, extremely unfortunate. I mean, he is hated by his brothers. Remember, a couple of chapters before, they wouldn't even offer him a typical greeting that would be typical in their culture. They despise him. They wanted to kill him. That plot doesn't happen. And so, but they sell him to the Ishmaelites. Now, in the midst of all this, notice God's operation behind the scenes. And so to understand slavery, Egyptian slavery in this regard, now we know Potiphar obviously was Egyptian. Potiphar, actually the word means one of the sun. And so we can see that, you know, that he was a high official. You know, you give kind of grandiose names like that. It kind of represents some status or level of status in the community. He was an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, so he was in his court basically, and he was the captain of the bodyguards. And so he had a very, very important position in this kingdom in Egypt. And so you notice God's hand through all this. A slave. Different definitions, okay, or different manifestations of that. a slave, a person that is captured or in war, and then they are sold into slavery, they basically go out to the field and work a very, very difficult life. A slave that's actually bought with money, which is in Joseph's case here, is a little different matter. They actually have rights in Egypt, and it's not like, you know, we're not talking about the slavery that the Hebrews will encounter later on. And so most likely when Potiphar goes, and because he's such a high official, there must have been, the easy way of saying, there must have been something on Joseph. So Potiphar of all people can actually bring him into his house. He must have seen something in him, and obviously we know that as the favor of the Lord. God was with Joseph. Even though Joseph is in a very difficult position, and what happened to Joseph shouldn't happen to anybody, but even in the midst of that, God is working behind the scenes. Later on, Joseph, when he talks to his brothers, he'll say this really incredible statement. He'll say, what the enemy has caused for evil, God has turned to good. Remember that? That is a powerful statement. I mean, that really, in many ways, can sum up the whole Bible, right? The enemy, what the enemy intended and caused for evil, the redemptive work of God, he turns to good. Romans 8:28. Paul will basically speak in very similar tones of what that's about. God causes all things to work for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Now, God doesn't turn all things for good, okay, just whatever, you know, you have an affair with someone, you know, it's an automatic thing, but to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. God obviously had purposes beyond Joseph's understanding, beyond his brother's understanding, beyond all these things, and so he gets to this place. And so he shows him up. And so, I mean, think about this. If Joseph, and we know famine is coming, because we know the story, we know all these things are happening. Joseph is going to be a major leader that's going to, that has to be there, has to learn, think in this context, has to learn to be crafty, to have wisdom. He needs to learn politics, you know, office. He needs to have that kind of intellect and skill in one side, but then because he went through so many difficult things, he also learns wisdom. He learns to be, you know, wise as a serpent and yet innocent as a dove. And what better place than Potiphar's house to learn those things? Because we're looking through the breath and life. God needs to preserve a people for himself. Now, Joseph isn't in this situation, the Hebrew people might actually vanish from the face of the earth. And so we see kind of how this works. God was with Joseph. Even though it was difficult, even though the situation was, just horrible, God was with Joseph. It's interesting that one of the first things that the enemy does when we come into a situation that's difficult, what is the first thing the enemy says? He goes, God is not with you. God has abandoned you. See, this is not working out. God, right, is just totally forgotten about you. You know, so curse God and die. It's Job's friend's dilemma. And so we see here that even though it's a difficult situation, that never meant that God had abandoned his son. In fact, it could be said that he actually poured more favor over him. And so wherever Joseph goes, right, so he gets picked into Potiphar's house. I mean, what a stroke of luck, right, if we're going to look at it in very humanistic terms. But, I mean, what the hand of God. He goes into the place where he needs to learn to be an officer in the court, where he needs to learn the ways of royalty, where he needs to learn politics, you know, and have that kind of savvy to operate in this way. And so Joseph was a visible witness of the Lord. verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Right? Slavery is a little different, okay? A prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So God blessed him so much that the master saw him. A pagan leader saw that God was with Joseph. He may not have known it to be God, but he knew that there is something, someone, something, some being is blessing this guy. And so just as a smart, savvy businessman, he gives him rule over all of his stuff. And it is a really interesting quote. It's actually in Hebrew, it's this idiom, but it's just quite clever. And he says, and he didn't even have to worry about what he ate, you know, or that's all. He just basically had to put spoon to mouth, you know, and that's how well that Joseph took care of everything. I mean, what a great testimony in his life. Seemingly, he wasn't bitter. Right, he just took the course that God had given to him, and he made the best out of it. You know, we have in America, we have this saying, you know, when God gives you lemons, make lemonade. Right? I mean, really simple thing. It's having a bright outlook in life and all these things. And so the Lord bless. This is what happens. Redemptive lift. The Lord not just blesses Joseph, he's prosperous. Now that he's given everything to Joseph, right, the Lord blesses Potiphar's house, everything that he owned, everything inside of his house, everything outside of his house, his cattle, his fields, you know, his crops, everything. Potiphar was so prosperous. And, you know, this is really one of my prayers for SP, okay? Now, I don't want you to take it, you know, to an extreme and whatnot, but I pray that our church members would be so prosperous, right? Not you know, I'm not a prosperity guy, right? I really think that that's really, in some ways, a little bit jacked up theology, but I pray that our guys, you know, that are working, our families, you know, our businesses. I mean, I pray this all the time would be so prosperous, you know, and not so that, you know, we could have more money to give to the church. It's, you know, God's going to provide, right? But it's so the world can see that if you follow God, the blessing of God is there. If you give your heart to the Lord, right, that God will just begin to move on your behalf. And, you know, that we're so prosperous. And prosperity, I'm not just talking about materially, okay? I'm talking about in all aspects of our life. Just kind of simple idea, even salvation. Salvation just doesn't mean your eternal life. Salvation means God has saved every part of your life, your mental health, your physical health, your finances, and salvation really is talking about a wholeness or a completeness, you know, of our life, and that we would be so prosperous, we'd be so filled with God that the world takes notice and says, man, there's something different about you. Now, it's important to understand that sometimes there's a price for that, right? There's a cost because, you know, with great strength or great, I mean, I'm quoting Spider-Man right now, right? But with great strength comes great responsibility, you know, in that regard. But it's true, you know, in that. And, I mean, we had a really lively discussion last night in house church about Yenggi Cho, you know, the leader of the biggest church in the world. You know, he just got indicted, was guilty of basically mismanagement of funds. And so you understand, man, but God, what he does is he finds people that he can trust and he blesses them. Because see, it's important that he finds people that he can trust, because if you're untrustworthy, you're going to fall. You may get away with it for a little while, but eventually the bottom is going to run out. Judgment is going to come. and stuff. And I'm not trying to make a commentary on him or, you know, any of these things that are going on. I mean, I'm praying earnestly for him and his family, you know, to be perfectly honest. And really, more than anything else, I'm heartbroken than anything else. But in that regard, right? Because then if you just go after that prosperity can ruin you. Remember the simple words of the Lord Jesus Christ: "What profits a man if he should gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul?" And we see a lot of people in this world that are just going after the prosperity without a purpose. You know, like Chase said, you know, we send our way, you know, we're blessed to be a blessing, but we're just going after the blessing, and as a result of that, that blessing ends up killing us or doing all this damage. But because we come to a place in the Lord and we realize that what he's given to us is actually with a purpose, you know, so I have this, you know, wonderful job, and I'm making all this good money. It's not so that I could have 5 houses. You know, it's not that, you know, I could build this huge empire for my family. You know, it's God, you blessed me so I can be a blessing, because there's poor people all over the world. You know, there's missions that we can get involved in and give our lives to. And I mean, just absolutely amazing how that works. You know, this week I had a couple that came to Hong Kong, and so, you know, I was spending some time with them. And he's a very successful businessman in the States. In fact, he owns his own construction company. So I was trying to get him to build me a house in the States, but in any case, and so he, I'm really, really man of God, and he's really involved, and he just travels around. You know, his kids are a little grown up now, and he just travels around the world just helping business people, you know, kind of reach, you know about God, but to really change the atmosphere of their companies and, you know, discipling these people, and just gives so many resources to see other business people. Because as a businessman, he knows the struggles and all the things he goes through. And just an incredible testimony. He just totally given his life to that. And he just tells me all these stories about guys that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to go to church. God's really blessed me, you know, with finances and all these things. But I'm just going to go to church and just give my little bit of money and I'm fine. And then he just tells me stories about guys that really begin to understand, wow, God, you blessed me with a purpose. And now just totally given themselves. You know, he's telling me about this one surgeon that, you know, in the beginning just didn't really want to, you know, it's just simple. I just want to be a good Christian. Go to church, you know, write a check to church, but you know, I don't want to do all these other kinds of things. And the Spirit of God, they really begin to touch him, and so he closes his office, you know, many times a year, and he goes off to North Korea, to Cambodia, you know, the other places, and teaches others, you know, oral, you know, surgery and whatnot. And then, you know, so I ask the question, so what happens to his business? I mean, you can't shut down. Because, you know, he still has to pay his workers when he shuts his office down. And he just says, somehow God just blesses me, you know, throughout the year. And actually, I make more money, you know, as I've been going out and doing these things. And you know, it's this idea of blessing with a purpose. You're blessed to be a blessing. And we see this operating in Joseph, right? Just want the church to be so blessed, to be so prosperous, that people take notice. And prosperous, again, not just materially, you know, but at work, right? You're working in the bank, your bonus is low, you know, whatever that means, but you're so filled with joy. That's prosperous too, right? You know, you're so filled with the Spirit, and everyone else is cursing, and I'm leaving my bank, you know, I'm out of this place, these guys don't appreciate me. And you're just worshiping the Lord. Like, man, I'm so happy that I have this job. Lord, it's you who that provide, right? You know, my paycheck comes from you, not from this company or the CEO. And then people see, like, hey, why are you so different? Right? You're so prosperous emotionally. Why are you so different? And it's because I have a relationship with Jesus. Or really? Can you tell me about this Jesus? Because I need some of whatever you got. I mean, this is what it really all comes down to. Sorry, I spent too much time talking about this. And so Potiphar's wife, you know, sees him. He's a good-looking guy. Come lie with me, all these things. I just want to just pinpoint one thing. Notice he says that he refuses, and he tells his master's wife, look, your husband put me in charge of everything. In fact, I am number one in this house, not even you. I'm number one in this house. And yet he withholds nothing from me except for you. So he's talking about Potiphar this whole time, right? This whole thing. And then he goes at the end of verse 9, how then could I do this great evil and sin against Potiphar? Notice he doesn't say that, right? Even though he's talking about Potiphar the whole time, he goes, how can I do this sin against God? This is just good teaching for us to understand this. When you sin against God. Okay, your offense is against the Lord. David, in his Psalm 51, the psalm for contriteness, you know, after Bathsheba, and he pens this psalm, he says in, I believe it's 51, I believe it's verse 4, and he says, to you and to you alone, O God, have I sinned. And that, to you, it wasn't, I mean, he sinned against Uriah, he sinned against Bathsheba, he sinned against his own family, you know, his own wife, and he sinned against the people as a king. He did all these things, but he says, to you and you alone, O God, have I sinned. And I think that's a good kind of understanding for us to recognize that when we commit sin, yeah, we sin against people for sure, but you got to understand that ultimately your sin is before God. That's why we need to ask God to forgive us, even though you sin against somebody else. Do you guys understand that point? And so the first place of reckoning is actually to the Lord. Forgiveness is to the Lord. Personal one-on-one is an issue of restitution. Right? It's a little. I mean, obviously you have to ask for forgiveness as well, but the issue one-on-one is actually restitution. In God, when we ask God for forgiveness, there is no restitution. You know why? Because of Jesus. The cross has guaranteed our forgiveness, and he paid the price for us. And so there is no restitution that needs to take place. But in terms of with one another, it needs to take place. Do you guys kind of understand that, right? I mean, we can unpack it some other time. And so let's close our eyes. Right. I mean, later on, you know that Joseph finds favor with the chief jailer. Some scholars believe that the chief jailer, now he's not going to a special jail. He's actually going to jail in Potiphar's house. This is the most likely translation. And so, you know, he's got a big estate, all these things. He's in charge of bodyguards. Could be. One of the ways is that one of the scholars said that most likely this chief jailer probably knew that Joseph was basically accused wrongly. And so it's just one of the theories, right? I mean, obviously the favor of God was over him, but there was some kind of connection with the chief jailer, and they probably knew each other because, in all honesty, Joseph would actually govern him in that house and, you know, and all kinds of stuff. So but those details are not important. So let's talk about this blessing for a moment, or this prosperity, right? Are you trustworthy? You know, there's a scripture in 2 Chronicles. It says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may strongly support those hearts that are completely his. And so are you a trustworthy individual? God's eyes are looking around. Can he trust you? God's heart, I mean, you got to understand that God's heart as a father is to bless his children. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants to give you good things. We being evil, it tells us in Luke, we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give to those that ask? And one pastor says, especially give the Holy Spirit. And so God's heart is to be a blessing. All he's looking for is people that he can trust. Okay? Now, it doesn't mean that if you have it, that you have to give everything away. No, I think you can keep quite a bit of it for yourself and be a blessing and take care of your kids and all those wonderful things, right? But sometimes, when is enough enough? And when can we start taking what we are receiving and start giving it away and be a blessing to others? So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Just simple question. Ask the Lord, am I trustworthy? If you give me wealth and health and, you know, all these things, God, could I be trusted enough that those things won't destroy me? The other side too is we can kind of pray about is maybe you're in a situation that in some form of, difficulty, like Joseph, and maybe you think God has abandoned you. Maybe you're realizing that God hasn't, that He's with you even more. I mean, I wish I had more time. I could share you some really amazing testimonies, even my own life, of some of these situations. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning, and let Him really whisper into your heart of hearts, and really, more than anything else, is cause us to be people that are trustworthy, that we know the blessings won't destroy us, but only enhance the kingdom.
Tell it to the man. sing out hallelujah. We will cry out hallelujah, and all will sing out hallelujah. We will cry out hallelujah, God.
Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God to help us to be worthy of His trust. Let's ask the Lord to really, you know, and pray that. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with us praying, Lord, bless me. God, bless me. Bless me to be a blessing. Lord, bless me so much, God, that the world will take notice. Because, God, it's not about me. It's not about how much wealth I accumulate, God, or good things happen to me. Lord, it's about that your Son Jesus is glorified. So, Lord, bless me. Help me to be a man, a woman that is trustworthy. That you would just pour out, God, yourself over me, over my family. Church, there's nothing wrong praying for that. Trust me. Absolutely nothing wrong whatsoever. But make sure your heart is in the right place. That it's not about personal gain. It's about being a witness. Let's pray. Let's pray that to Jesus. Pray for our community. Let's lift up our friends that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word in their life. If I could just spend a moment, you know, if you see number two, it's Yvain's Aunt Cynthia. The latest on her condition is that her health is actually deteriorating, and so much so that they had another operation to kind of heal their abdominal wall, and they found out that the cancer just spread everywhere. And so she's actually too weak to go through another round of chemotherapy. And so she's back at home just trying to rest and basically gain strength. Apparently she's lost a ton of weight. So that she can go back for another round and try to eradicate this cancer. And so this is a kind of a desperate situation for Yvain and their family. So if you can especially lift her up, you know, I think it's greatly appreciated by Yvain and her family. Let's pray for our community that is ill, but also needs to know Jesus. Let's pray for healing of their spirit and soul as well as their body. Pray for our community with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's hand upon them and healing. Let's pray for our fellow brothers and sisters that are looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Go to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up our two sisters, Grace and Ashley, their ministry at Bloom. Let's pray for God's provision in their lives. Pray for their ministry, that God would just continue to bless them and all the women that they're helping there, that they would just continue to grow and trust Jesus. Let's pray for Pastor O, vision to reality ministry. Let's pray for Pastor Tang at New Life Church as well, and especially as we the worship team goes again this summer. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon this country that's really experienced some amazing, incredible tragedy over the years. But let's pray that what God or the enemy prepared for evil, that God would turn for good. Let's cover. In a moment, let's pray for the board. Let's ask God's hand to be with our leaders, our senior leaders, as they pray and seek God's heart for the direction of our church. Let's lift each of them by name. Let's ask for their families and blessing and protection, and their work would be protected as well, as they put in quite a few hours being a part of this board. And so let's just lift them up. Thank you. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for a new building that hopefully the government will give us some land and we can build our final home. Let's pray for a donor. Ask God to release whatever he has in mind for us as a church. Let's just lift up. Pray for House Church tonight, Causeway Bay Island, Taihang, Robin Hood, Elements, Happy Valley, East Enders, and Robbie West and Sha Tin. Let's pray for the presence of the Lord to be upon them, that the gathering of God's people, there'd be a lot of excitement, a lot of joy, a lot of friendship, and a lot of anointing. Let's cover tonight. We thank you this morning, God. We thank you for your infinite care over us, Lord. We thank you that you love us with an everlasting love, God, that we're in the center of your hand and no one can snatch us out of your hand. We pray, Lord, that when things look bad, God, that when we're in situations, help us never to doubt, God, your presence in our lives, Lord. Holy Spirit, watch over us today. Help us to be a blessing, God, wherever we go. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time today, and we'll see you tomorrow.